where we will talk about launching operations for your e-commerce business. So after your strategy, your plan, if you were able to put together a team and the financing, what are the steps involved? What are the responsibilities when it comes to launching your e-commerce operations? Starting an e-commerce business is hard work like any other business, and there are many steps involved and decisions that need to come together at the right time. The right channel, the development of the website or the app, or do you register as a seller on a marketplace, or do you want to sell socially, the product category, the service category, then again, do you make it yourself, do you procure, do you drop ship, you go for private labeling or white labeling, logistics, the type of payment options do you offer your customers, discounts, and how do you compete. There are too many decisions to make, and making decisions are easier than actually going ahead and executing them. So when you launch, you're actually moving into the execution stage. So as you prepare for the launch of your new business, there are several essential elements that you need to prepare for. So as a founder or as a co-founder, you are the CEO of your business, the chief executive officer of your new e-commerce startup. So being the co-founder or the CEO of a startup is one of the most challenging roles, because you can't be working in silos, you can't be responsible for just one function. Your core skill may be marketing, or your core skill may be development, your core skill may be sales, but you have to oversee and understand all the other functions as well, right? From sourcing to customer service to business financials, you have to understand and oversee other departments as well, because you are the decision maker and you are the one responsible for the success and the failure. So the three most important components of the startup founder or the CEO roles are, first, offering or creating a product category that solves a real customer need and then convincing customers to pay for it. You may see a lot of times, you may feel that you have a great idea in mind, a product that really solves a problem, but eventually the problem is not big enough and the customers don't really care much about it, and hence they're not willing to pay for it, or they're not a large enough group of customers that make the idea viable. So first is about creating a category that actually solves a customer need and then getting customers to pay for that. Or maybe you get into an existing category, but you make the existing product or service a much better version of what's on offer by your competitors. So that's the first challenge, creating that product or service that solves a problem for the customer and something which the customer is willing to pay for it. Marketing will play a huge role in educating customers why they should pay for something, but you need to have the basic need that you are solving, either a new problem, a new solution, or in a better way compared to how it is being dealt with today. Then making sure that the users and customers have an extremely positive emotional experience with the product and that they repeatedly buy from you. It's not just selling once. See, mostly e-commerce orders are small in ticket size. It's not like a real estate transaction, which is a once in a lifetime purchase. You want customers to keep coming back and buying from you. Hence, you need to deliver a good experience, something that the customer likes, gets comfortable, and wants more. And the third and most important is recruiting and building a great team, because you could not be good at all the functions. You need to have the right team in place so you, as a captain, as a CEO, could take your team together to achieve the objectives listed in your business plan. These are the typical activities of a startup organization in the first year or the first few months, which comes from setting up your business entity, your office place, you start hiring, putting together a team, you develop your website or your app, you start marketing, start testing, you launch the website, and you move towards the actual execution or the selling phase. So typical process cycle, these all steps can be broken into several smaller steps, but typically this is how the activities in the first few months would look like for a startup. Now, what makes a good CEO or a good founder or a good promoter of a startup organization? Now, a good CEO in a startup organization has to possess some qualities, some following qualities, like he or she should be able to understand the needs of the customer in every phase of the business. See, without customers, there is no business. And as a startup, you're going to introduce either a new product or a new service or maybe an innovation to an already existing product category. So your ability to understand the need of the customer is very, very important. Otherwise, your entire business plan makes no sense if there are no buyers for your product or service. Then as a CEO, you have to create products that solve that customer need and solve it in a way that the customer says and finds value and hence is willing to pay for it. You need to have self-confidence, otherwise you'll not be able to deal with demands of the customers, employees, suppliers, and investors. So there'll be a lot coming on your plate which you have to deal with. So self-confidence has to be there, and you need to be having humility, right? That's how you need to deal with people. You need to be humble. So humility is a key skill for long-term success. Then you need to have an aptitude for public speaking so that people can understand the objectives. This may not be an inbuilt skill. You may not already have the skill, but as you start growing your startup, you'll have to work towards improving your public speaking skills because you have to talk to investors, convince them maybe for more funds, convince them for late returns on the investment. You'll have to motivate employees during low sales cycles or increase competition from other brands. You'll have to maybe put on a message for your customers that why do they need to believe in your business values and mission. You have to talk to the media when your startup starts gaining prominence. So you need to have an aptitude for public speaking. If not, you need to develop your public speaking skills. Then the ability to communicate your vision and mission. You need to sound passionate and be able to communicate what you stand for as a business to your team and customers and investors. And the ability to care about employees and customers. See, business is about working with people, right? Working with people, selling to people. So as long as you can care about them, feel about them, and solve their problems, their needs, that is what puts a strong platform for your business growth. So the ability to care about people is very important, and the desire to work hard and achieve. It's going to be hard work. The first few years especially, it's going to be hard work, but you'll have to put on more hats than one. So these are some few characteristics that need to be there in a CEO or an entrepreneur. Now we come to hiring people. Now an employee cost is the biggest cost factors in startup organizations. Startup organizations primarily are tech-enabled companies. So to scale operations, they don't need to really scale up physical infrastructure. What they need is manpower. That is what differentiates a good technical developers, good marketing experts, good designers. You need good people, qualified people, passionate people to join your organization, and hiring them gets tricky because talent is limited and there are a lot of startups with funding, big funding rounds, looking to hire the limited talent people. So the cost gets higher, and passionate people, talented people want to work with companies where they believe in the values and the mission. So how do you attract talent given your budget as well? And how do you retain them? So how do you communicate your passion, your mission, your vision, and your values, and bring along a team that will make your business plan a success? So only hire people who can do their job better than yourself. If you want to hire a CMO or a chief marketing officer, the person needs to be better than you yourself at marketing for your product category, for your channel, for your target customer segments. also look and hire people who have a positive attitude and a strong work ethic, because there will be ups and downs. Your business projections may go wrong and there will be low sales cycle. There will be pressure from investors. So you need people who have a positive attitude to keep you going as well. Communicate precisely where the team is going. Keep them updated. Be transparent. Startups don't have hierarchies like large organizations. So people like to be transparent. They need to know what's happening, what's going right, and what's going wrong. So don't hide information. Set up an objective system in advance to track performance, to predefine communicated goals. Keep it very transparent again on who is doing well, who is not doing well, and how do they need to improve, how do you rate performance, and how do you reward good performance. Trust people to do their job. Don't micromanage. When you hire good talent, let them do what they are good at. But if they are not able to perform, let go of them quickly, but without creating a conflict, because it will be a miss. You'll make some mis-hiring decisions. You will sometimes hire wrong people. Wrong not because they're not talented, wrong because they don't fit into the scheme of things. And hence, you need to let go of them quickly, but in a positive way. So don't create a conflict. Understand who is a good fit, who is not a good fit. Retain the ones that are a good fit. People who are not able to perform or don't gel with the rest of the team, let them go. Let them go quickly. Now, another key activity when launching your startup, e-commerce startup, is selecting your website name and registering the organization. Select the website or organization name which one is user-friendly and that customers accept instantly and has a good recall value. Don't have names that customers can easily misspell. Don't select names that are very long and lengthy. It has to be a catchy word, something that people can easily remember and not misspell when typing it, right? So use a catchy name, a relevant name, something that is easier to type, easier to remember, so that people can actually come to your website when they want to. The new website name should have its own unique identity and a positive meaning and credentials. And what you choose as the extension, whether it is .com, whether it is .biz, depends on the kind of business. For example, a lot of tech service e-commerce companies use .io because that's .input output, which is a tech term which they use instead of .com. So what you choose as your extension is also important. Then your branding, your color combination, your logo, all that creates a brand image and a recall value for your e-commerce startup. The most essentials when selecting a domain name or a website name is be short, catchy, and memorable. Again, people should not be making spelling mistakes while trying to go to your website or looking up for your website or brand on Google or any other search engine. So there are some unspoken rules. Avoid something too similar to competing domain names, right? For example, if there is flipkart.com with a K, don't start a website with flipkart.com with a C. Don't make these mistakes. .com wave, and .com is the most popular top-level domain. If people are used to using .com for websites, so until unless you fall into certain categories like the tech services who use IO, who have a very niche customers coming to their sites, use .com for generic e-commerce websites. Discoverable versus brandable. So what's your strategy? How can you ensure that people going on the internet can actually discover your website? Create a good brand, color scheme, logo, the entire website structure, and be innovative and creative depending upon what category of business you deal in. Then comes registering the website name. Now, once the website name is being finalized, it has to be registered for the trademark purpose. So the most important benefits of incorporations are that you are taken more seriously by prospects. It increases trust into your business, both by customers, vendors, and even potential employees and investors. And you are able to open a business bank account once you get incorporated, which is important to collect payments from customers and to pay your vendors and also to get funding from investors. Now, since you incorporate, you're also able to protect yourself from some personal liability because now your business is a separate corporate identity. Hence, you as a founder get some protection from personal liability for losses or defaults, and you pay less taxes. As an individual, you effectively pay taxes on your total income. As a business, you pay taxes on your net income. That also helps you in your taxation and your financials. So multiple benefits, and also most importantly, it gives users, customers, trust that they're dealing with a corporate entity and not with an individual. So they have more confidence dealing with you and in buying from your business. So the most difficult phase of the business actually is the startup stage, because that is where your plan gets tested. You get a real taste that now that you had defined everything on paper or on PowerPoint slides, you actually now go out in the market and interact with actual living customers, and whether they accept or reject your business is the first taste during this phase. Now, after this, you'll have more challenges in terms of scaling up, growing up, competing with other providers. But this definitely, once you plan to start a business, is the most difficult phase, because this is a validation of your idea. And you get to do a lot of activities which you may not have done earlier if you are a first-time founder, right? From incorporating a business, to registering a website, for example, setting up office space, hiring talent, dealing with investors, marketing your product to customers. So there are too many things that you learn when you start your business for the first time. Hence, it is one of the most difficult phases in the life of an entrepreneur or startup founder. So you need a lot of patience, tolerance, and confidence to roll out, and you need support of a good team to go through this stage if things don't work as per the plan. So having a plan really helps, and having a good team, good operational strategy is important when you decide to launch a new e-commerce business. Thank you.